The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Great to celebrate with you this morning. Good morning. Good to be together. I hope so. It's one of the most exciting weeks in the year, from my perspective, C2C week. Straight after Easter, what better time to have it, I reckon. And it's great to be celebrating this. And I know a number of you have been looking forward to this week in a number of ways, because we believe God moves. We believe the Lord's going to move in significant ways in people's lives this week. And encourage you just to be open. I want to add to Rod's thank yous and really say and express on behalf of the leadership here just a sincere appreciation, an overwhelming joy for your commitment to C2C and mission generally. Our C2C family really do appreciate it. I would hear most weeks they would say, we just are so appreciative of the people at South Perth because we know they support us in many ways. So thank you, and I believe we're setting the bar in what it means to be a sending church. I want to thank you specifically for helping us to reach our faith promise target. Really appreciate supporting practically the needs of our C2C family. For praying many prayers. I did a little few sums yesterday. I estimate that as a congregation, we have prayed close to 1 million prayers this year. Now, if I was conservative, I might go 500,000, but it's C2C week. I think we can be a bit liberal. We've prayed close to 1 million prayers this week. Not this week, all year. It's terrific. So thanks for your commitment to mission. I want to highlight our C2C team. These people would work on C2C most days of the year, the operation side of C2C. I'd like to make special mention of them in June Angus, Ben Chin, Di Mullins, John Barsley, Jess Radney, Jane Gahardi, and Gillian Chin. Will you show your appreciation to our C2C team? Now, Robert is also a member of our C2C team. He just got engaged. And I know another lady who just got engaged, Sue Romano, to each other. So why don't we say thank you, celebrate these guys on your engagement. Terrific. So I encourage you to be open this week to what God wants to do through our C2C week. I do need to share some family news with you now. And I want us to pray for them, but also to pray into our C2C week. We need to let you know that Marge Camp, one of our congregational members, passed away earlier in the week, and we want to lift the Hughes family to you, to the Lord, and to think of them this week. So will you join with me as we pray for them and as we pray for our time together? Father, we know you are the God of all comfort, and Lord, we want to lift the Hughes family to you, Debbie, Brett, and others. And Lord, we want to pray the comfort of God would surround them this week as they grieve for Marge. We thank you that she knew you, she loved you, and we know she's with you. But Lord, we commit them to you as a family, that you'd minister to them this week. And Father, as we turn to your word, as we look to the things you have in store for us in this Christ to Cosmos Mission Week, we ask for your leading. We ask for your Holy Spirit's anointing. We ask for your passion of Jesus to come upon us, that we might serve you more and more wholeheartedly in the things you call us to. Lead us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think of our mission as a church, as we think of how we pray, it's been my prayer, and I know the prayers of others, to ask the Lord, help us reach people. And in that, Lord, we want you to give us your eyes to see people. We want you to give us your heart to see people with how you see them. You know, as a part of my role as a Church of Christ chaplain for Curtin University, I've had a great privilege just to be able to see and meet people, to meet students, and to meet other churches and chaplains working on Curtin University, which is a significant mission field. 47,000 people would call that place home most of the week. And it's led the team and I to run Student Alpha for 3 weeks. And there's been a young Chinese man named Raven who's been coming. He's been attending. Now, Raven has no background in Christianity whatsoever, has no clue what Jesus is about. And after the first and second session, which are titled, Who is Jesus? And why did Jesus have to die? His words were, this is so amazing. I'm getting to understand who this person Jesus really is. And at that point, he hadn't made a commitment. We chatted about that. And we said, look, the only one who can make a commitment is you. You're the only one. And we started to use a figurative kind of thing that Jesus is knocking at the door. I said, no, Jesus, we know he is knocking. I'm happy just to keep him here, there at this moment. But he understood that he's the only one who could open the door. And as I looked at Raven, it was clearly evident that there was a stirring in his heart. There was something going on in his life. God was at work, and it was going to take a little longer for him to become convinced. But I sensed God was also revealing and teaching me things about what it means to see people with his eyes and to commit to people in a purposeful way to see them set free and discipled in Jesus. And this morning, I want to read from Matthew 9. I'm going to encourage you to open your Bibles. I got in trouble a few weeks ago when I said, open your Bibles, and if you've got your old school Bibles, you can open those. Most of us have electronic version today. But please open your Bibles to Matthew 9, and I want us to read from verse 35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Now, I like the fact that Jesus went to all the people. He didn't kind of sidetrack or think that town's not worth it or those people aren't. He went to all the people. And notice that he just didn't proclaim the kingdom. He taught about it. He taught people about the coming kingdom. He taught people about himself. And he healed every disease and sickness, and the power of God came on the people. I love that about Jesus. I love that because I reckon if I could have access to that nowadays, it would be terrific. Available every time I went to a doctor. Verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, there's something about Jesus, the way he sees people firsthand, it moves him to compassion. It moves so deep in his stomach that he sends out and he commissions the 12 in the very next chapter, Matthew 10. And he says, you guys have got to go and minister to exactly the same people. And I believe when one sees people through the lens and eyes of Jesus, when they follow through with action, that's where you see genuine compassion taking place. Action. Jesus had a masterstroke of leadership, in my opinion. He mobilized people to this end, and I believe that's our job as leaders here, to mobilize. And the people he saw were harassed and helpless. It was just great to hear Colin and Carolyn share of the situation in India, but also that's the same in Australia in some ways. There's the presence of spiritual forces that are at work actively all of the time. But the people Jesus saw were harassed and helpless. There was probably the presence of spiritual abuse, government oppression. These people completely lacked hope and they were discouraged. And he says, they're the ones who need a shepherd. They're the ones who we will not abuse. We will not oppress, but we will encourage and give them hope. And Jesus says to his disciples in preparation for their coming ministry in Matthew 10, he says, the harvest you see is people ready to acknowledge me as Lord. And these people are spiritually hungry. They are ripe for the picking. And he says, I am the Lord of the harvest. You just have to pray to me and I'll raise up people. I'll raise up workers. Now, the Gospel of John records a very different expression in a similar way. And it's where Jesus is interacting with a Samaritan woman. The disciples come back. In John 4, he says, don't you have a saying? Still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. They are ripe. They are ready. Jesus calls people to the harvest. He calls all of us to open our eyes and look with his eyes. And I believe God would say this morning, I want you to see what I see. To love like Christ is to first see with his eyes. And I want to ask a few questions at this point. Is the Lord calling you to shepherd his sheep? Is he sending you today into a harvest field of Australia? Is he sending you and asking you to, hey, I need to partner with the Crags a bit more? I believe, and I strongly am convinced, that this week is a definitive week for some of you. I believe God will call some of you into mission. I believe God will call some of you into ministry. I believe God will call and lead you to do something that is the great harvest and he wants you to do and be on about. We have been sowing much in Australia, but I believe the time is coming and has come where we're going to reap. We're going to see people, men and women of all ages, come and know Jesus. You know, someone once said to me, the resources are in ordinary men and women. Also, resources are in the harvest. And a number of months ago, a man named Nigel, he came in, he wanted food assistance, and we started to build relationship with this gentleman. Beautiful, soft guy to the things of the Lord. And we've been sharing. He let me in on a little secret. He was able to give me some inside intel on a lot of the people who had been coming for food assistance. And it was very interesting, to tell you the truth, very insightful. And I said, Nigel, you need to be a part of the church. We need people like you. He said, okay, I will. And he's got such a passion in his belly that he said, you know what we could do? We could save the church money and we could go and ask Coles for some food. I said, go for it. That'd be great. And he's become so passionate that he's ringing me constantly. He says, when are we going to go to Coles? IGA. Hey, have you seen the bakeries? You know what? I know some people at the Canning Growers Market. Terrific. Now, this is a man who already lives with the poor. Generous man, but he doesn't have much himself. He's a classic person of peace. And he wants to establish a vital connection with Jesus. He wants to see other people do the same. How exciting. As we pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up harvest workers. When we pray like Christ, this comes from seeing the harvest with the eyes of Jesus. But like I said in the intro, I said we also need to see and ask God for our heart, his heart, for people as we see them. That deep compassion to the ends of the earth. You know, last week we celebrated the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the core of our faith. But you know what? He didn't stop there. He said, I'm giving you a most privileged responsibility. And it was during his resurrection days that he issues the Great Commission that we've come to know and love. And that's where we come to Matthew 28, the great text, the great bookend, if you like, of Matthew. And I want to unpack this as we read it together, verse 16, chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples, all right, we know minus Judas, left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. You know, when Jesus, before he died on the cross, he said to them in Matthew 26, I want to meet you in Galilee. I want to meet you on the mountain, and there I'll give you further instructions. Very interesting. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Now, I love this about the Great Commission. I'll tell you why. Because out of worship, the Great Commission is given. Out of the worship of the disciples, Jesus issues this great command, which is not just for them, but for the whole church through generations. I cannot tell you personally how many people I've seen called to mission are indeed the ones who are worshippers, the ones who give their hearts and give their all to the Lord. And you can see that across the historical pages of the church, but often it's been out of times of worship that our C2C family, they've been the ones who God has called and they've sensed that they've got to give everything up and they've committed to it. It's really wonderful stuff. It's another story. Now, it says some of them doubted, but we shouldn't see that as some sort of unbelief. It was a hesitation, perhaps. And I figure, this is only my figuring, if that's a word, I figure that if I was standing in the presence of the resurrected Messiah, I might feel a bit nervous and hesitate myself. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, if you have great authority on earth, if people commission you to do something, you can accomplish much. But it says here, Jesus has been given authority not just on earth, but in all of heaven has been given to Jesus. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail. We'll have no chance. I can bank on that statement. I can tell you that is true. That Jesus builds his church today. And every time I go out on mission, I need the power of Christ. I desire it so much because we need it. And I know that without the power and authority of Jesus, the mission is probably doomed for failure. Go and make disciples of all nations means you will actually go with purpose. And you will make people that you will instruct, you'll teach people of every kind and every nation. It's the main command to make disciples of all nations and to multiply them and to baptize them. I love this about the baptism passage. You baptize them in the singular name of God, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey Jesus. The great thing is we don't have to do this alone. We've got each other. But more so, Jesus himself says, I will be spiritually present until I return again. I am with you always, he says. And I tell you, you need that. You need the certainty of that when you go out on mission. You need to know Jesus is there, and he says he is. We pray the Lord give us your heart for the nations, your heart for Australia and for Perth. The question begs, how is God going to use you for the Great Commission? How are you going at that central command to make disciples of all nations? Because it's to us all. How will you respond? And maybe what you need to think about is, how am I investing God's truth in one person? See, if I am to make disciples, it actually means I'm actually going to make at least one. You're going to think of that one person that you're going to make. When Martin Luther set out on the work which shook the world, his friend Myconius expressed sympathy, but he said, I can best help where I am. I will remain and pray while you toil. Myconius prayed day by day, but as he prayed, he began to feel uncomfortable. One night he had a dream. He thought the Saviour himself was approaching, and he showed him his hands and his feet. He saw the fountain in which he'd been cleansed from sin, then looked earnestly into his eyes, the Saviour, and said, he said to him, follow me. And then the Lord took him to a lofty mountain and pointed eastward, and looking in that direction, Myconius saw a plain stretching away to the horizon. It was dotted with white sheep, thousands and thousands of them, and one man was trying to shepherd them all. The man was Luther. The Saviour pointed westward. Myconius saw a great field of standing corn. One reaper was trying to harvest it all. And the lonely labourer was spent and exhausted, but still he persisted in his task. Myconius recognised the solitary reaper was his old friend Luther. He exclaimed, it's not enough. When he awakened, that I should pray. The sheep must be shepherded, the fields must be reaped. Here am I, send me. The classic line from Isaiah. And he went out and shared his old friend's labours. See, prayer is a given. We are to pray. But we must labour together. Must work together. Lord, give me your eyes and heart for your harvest field. That's our prayer. Lord, give me your eyes and your heart for your harvest field. And to impart this vision to my heart. Show us that biblical vision for the nations. I like sometimes to use the language, impart your eschatological vision to my heart. The end time stuff. See, right from day dot in the book of Genesis, God has been calling the whole earth to worship him. He's calling the whole earth to give him glory. Hallelujah. And one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 96, echoes this very heartbeat. It says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all of the earth. Sing to the Lord and praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations. his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Great psalm. The psalmist that calls the whole earth to worship God. Right there. God has been moving to that ultimate goal of the whole earth in singing and in praise and worship to God. And mission is the catalyst to that end. He imparts a vision to the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. I'm going to just read from verse 9, chapter 5. I love this text. They sang a new song with these words. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you are slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then it says, I looked again, I heard the voice of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then they heard every creature in heaven and on earth, everyone under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, blessing, honor, glory and power belongs to the one sitting on the throne, to the Lamb forever and ever. That's, for me, is a mission worth dying for, a vision worth seeing. That's going to be something else when we reach heaven one day. You know, previous to these verses, it talks about Jesus being the Lion and the Lamb. And it says, the Lamb of God is the only one who can break the seven seals, the judgment scroll of God, in that book of Revelation. And the Lamb of God, who was slaughtered, stands triumphant on a king's throne. A mission worth dying for, and it's a vision worth going for. Every tribe, language, people, and nation represented in the kingdom of heaven. That's the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And God wants to use you and I to that end. But it starts here by saying, Lord, give me your eyes. Give me your heart for the harvest field, your harvest field. Help me to see this great vision. Help me to play my part. Help me to do what I can do to see people set free, to live like Christ, to live a courageous life in Him. I mentioned Raven in my introduction that he was the only one who could open the door to Jesus. I said, you're the only one who can do it. And he said on a few occasions, I understand that Jesus is knocking at my door. We continue to proceed with the Alpha course. We even had to miss a week because his car broke down, but he came back the following week. Week 5 session, he said, Darren, I've opened the door. So as we unpack that, as I understood what that meant, he confessed Jesus as Lord. He's been baptized next Sunday. Hallelujah. The harvest is rich, and it starts with the ones. His girlfriend, who was converted during a worship service 3 months earlier, she was over the moon. She was so excited. She leapt into his arms and gave him a big hug. You know, God is doing it, but he's going to do it more and more. I believe he's going to do it. We've got to believe. We've got to trust him. And press in. Lord, give me your eyes and heart for your harvest field. Church, we've begun our C2C week today. I, for one, don't want to get to the end of it and think, oh, that was a nice week. That was a great speaker. It was a great story. We're here to see impact. We're here to see lives change for eternity. We're here to see God do his work and for his will to be accomplished. We want to play our part in the great harvest, the great commission. And like I said before, I just believe this week God's going to call people. He's going to call men and women of all ages. I found myself praying for my children this morning. Very hard prayer to pray, actually, as a parent. Lord, I want you to use my children for the harvest. I want you to send them into the great mission field. Very tough prayer, but you know what? God honors that. Pray for your children. He may nudge some and say, hey, I want to use you and move you. I'll tell you, when I came to the church, this church in the year 2000, I went to my first mission week. I was a fairly ordinary bloke. I had no vision for the lost. I didn't even understand what the harvest meant. But at the end of the men's breakfast, the speaker asked people to stand up, and I found myself standing for no good reason. I didn't understand why I was standing. I just knew, God, I want you to do something. I remember Jim Butler prayed for me that morning, back those days. And God got a hold of my life back then. He called me to ministry and mission. I've never looked back. I believe God wants to do the same this week for some of you. Lord, give me your eyes and heart. We've got to pray it. Pray for the harvest field, for the brokenhearted, for the hurting and for the oppressed, for the dying. And I say this week, Lord, do it. Just do it. And let's see him do his work. Father, I pray as you've spoken this morning to people. Father, we want to respond to you in just an attitude of worship and surrender and say, Lord, have your way in our life. And Lord, we commit our C2C week to you. We ask for you to set it apart, that it would be a defining week in the life of our church, that you would have your way. And Lord, as heaven sings right now, we do want you to receive blessing and honor.